Morning, everybody. And I just love it when the readings are made so clear. Thank you for that great the way you read them. Well, this morning we're looking at Psalm 111 as we've been going through the Psalms for the month of January. I guess I'm the last cab off the rank, Greg. Is that right? Okay. Oh, well, never mind. Is that right? You'll regret that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for all the blessings you shower down upon us. We thank you for the privilege of being able to be here together as family this morning as we gather in your name. We thank you that we can hear your word read, that we can worship you, that we can share with broken bread and blessed cup and be reminded of all that you have done for us. We pray that from your word this morning, dear Lord, you may speak to us and encourage us as we remember things that you have done. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I didn't really begin like that expecting a response. That's quite amazing, isn't it? But how often do you hear these words? How often do you say them? To be truthful, I don't hear them very often. And again, to be truthful, I don't say them as often as I should. Why is it that these words are missing from our everyday or even Christian vocabulary? Why is it that they are not part of our everyday conversation? These were some of the thoughts that were going through my mind as I thought about this psalm. In fact, I've been struggling with this psalm all week. Curses upon you? No. The fact that I had been asked to preach on this psalm today really, I had trouble with it. Sounds silly, doesn't it? But I did. The conclusion that I came to was that we don't think about God often enough or see his hand in the things that happen in our lives. It would seem that our minds are more focused on the world and worldly things than they are on the things of the Spirit of God. I think that we look at things through worldly eyes rather than spiritual eyes. I know that we spend more time in the world than we do in this place of worship, for instance. But I would like to think that while we're here, we do think about God. And what's more, that all that he has done, not only for us as individuals, but also for his church and the world. This Psalm 111 is a psalm that looks at the mighty works of God. It's a psalm that spells out what God has done on behalf of his ancient people, the Jews. It's unclear who wrote this psalm, but whoever did put a lot of thought into it. And that doesn't mean that the other 149 psalms were casually written. They were inspired by God and then written. This psalm and the one following, 112, consists of 22 lines, with each line commencing with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, excluding the opening, Praise the Lord. In a way, we could title this psalm a psalm of remembrance. There's no doubt that as we read through the Old Testament, we are aware of the mighty things that God did for his chosen people, the children of Israel. I guess if we sat down and tried to write a list, the list would seem to be endless. But before the psalmist burst into song, and the psalms were written for singing. I can remember some time back that they used to be sung in this church. Anybody else remember that? And I remember when I first went to church, trying to sing psalms, I was hopeless. I wasn't any good. Did you ever sing psalms? Gee, another psalm singer. But we used to sing them. But they were meant to be sung. But he wants to praise the Lord, and he wants to extol the Lord with all his heart. In the first verse of Psalm 111, it's clear that his praise of the Lord is not half-hearted. There will be no half-hearted attitude in his praise of God, not privately, and neither when he worships with others. In a way, it calls on us to ask ourselves the question, how do I worship God? How do I worship God? How do I extol his name? With my whole heart? Or is my acknowledgement of God half-hearted? How would you answer that question? Do you worship God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength? Do you worship God vigorously? No doubt, as the psalmist considers the works that the Lord has done, his love and his delight in God increases. In verses 4 to 6 we read that the Lord is gracious and compassionate. I love it when I'm in the company of a gracious person. It really is just amazing to be in their presence. There is something comforting and peaceful about them. There's a feeling of love and care that seems to flow freely from them. And I need to say that I've experienced that in the presence of members of this congregation. But this leads the psalmist to speak of the compassion of God. There are two areas of compassion that he points to. The first is the supply of manna in the wilderness, the provision of food for the children of Israel as they wandered through the desert for 40 years, even though they had rebelled, and they did rebel again and again and again. The compassion of God enabled him to care for his people. Verse 5 says he provided food for those who fear him. And we could ask, why was the Lord prepared to do this? And again, we are told that the Lord remembered his covenant that he made with Moses. See, the Lord doesn't have a short memory. The Lord is faithful. The Lord keeps his word. The second thing that the psalmist recalls is the giving to his people of the promised land. As we read through the book of Joshua, it's clear that Israel would never have occupied the land of Canaan had it not been for the hand of God. On occasions they tried to do things on their own and in their own strength, and they failed. The land that Israel came to possess became theirs only through the power of the work of God. But I'm sure that if we look at what God has done for us, as the children of God in this place, then we would marvel at what has been achieved. Now, some of us are old enough to remember when there was a move from a little wooden church where, when the cleaners were on, when the women swept the floor, they didn't have to get a brush and a shovel out. It just went through the cracks in the floor. And the move was to come here and build this place. It should have been bigger, by the way. Some of you would know that. But the bishop of the day believed that to build such a big church was laughable in this day and age. So they had to reduce the size of it. Would you believe that? But really, it was God who enabled this place to be built. It was God who enabled us to buy the land next door. It was God who enabled us to build a new rectory. And he enabled the old rectory to be transformed as it is today. And I could go on listing other things as well. In what the Lord does and in what the Lord says, his attributes can be seen. And the psalmist tells us he is faithful, he is just, he is trustworthy, he is steadfast, he is upright. And all of these things that the psalmist lists remain the same today. The Lord never changes. In verse 9, we are told that the Lord provided redemption for his people. And this is clearly pointing to the bringing of the Israelites out of Egypt after the Passover. For us, if we were writing this psalm and we referred to the mighty acts of God's redemption for us, I'd like to think that we would recall and focus on the cross, where the Lamb of God shed his blood for the sins, for our sins, and for the sins of the whole world. The Lord set the children of Israel free from bondage of Egypt, releasing them after 400 years of slavery. Jesus set the world free from the bondage of sin that had kept us as slaves from the time of Adam. Jesus' act of redemption has set us free. If the remembrance of the act of redemption in Egypt could cause the psalmist to reverence the name of God, then how much more you and I when we look at the cross? Holy and awesome is his name. This is the Lord the writer wrote about, using the works, his works, to point to the nature of a holy God. And if he is holy, then he is to be feared. And this is not so much to be frightened by him, but rather to be in awe of him, aware of who he is and all that he has done, and all that his word says, and that from the knowledge of him we might have wisdom. Now, knowledge without wisdom will never achieve much. But wisdom that has knowledge is of great value. The psalmist concludes as he began, "To him belongs eternal praise," he writes. And today I want to encourage you, together with myself, to look at our lives and to see what the Lord has done in order that we might give him the praise that is due to his name. Praise the Lord.